KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. There's a major flood in Galena as a persistent ice jam on the Yukon River forces water across a wide area. National Weather Service hydrologist Ed Plum is in Galena with a State River Watch team. Plum says high water has forced evacuation of many residents. Plum says flooded-out residents are being brought to the Galena Airport, which is on higher ground and protected by a dike. He says they are being housed in a boarding school, or they are flown out of town. People are being flown to the neighboring village of Ruby or to Fairbanks or Anchorage. Plum has said he's heard of no injuries, but power is out across much of town, and there's limited generator power at the airport. He says some buildings like the Galena School are built on high pilings, but are threatened as floodwaters continue to rise from the ice jam at Bishop Rock, a tight bend in the Yukon River about 20 miles downstream that's prone to ice jams. Plum says the water level at Galena continues to rise this morning. He says there's concern about flooding of downstream villages like Koyukuk once the ice jam at Bishop Rock releases. The National Weather Service is also reporting flooding to the north at the village of Buckland due to an ice jam on the Buckland River. And a man who's been charged with killing an Alaska couple and raping their two-year-old great-granddaughter is a registered sex offender convicted of breaking into a home and assaulting an 11-year-old girl 4 years ago. Jerry Andrew Active was convicted of assaulting the girl near Dillingham while her family slept. Active, who's 24 years old, was also convicted of fighting members of that family. On Saturday, authorities say Active broke into the home of a 71-year-old man and his 73-year-old wife, killing them with blunt force. He was still inside the residence when their grandson and the grandson's wife arrived but fled. Active was charged with violating his probation this spring, but it's not clear what kind of correctional supervision he was under. Alaska State Troopers say a child died in an all-terrain vehicle accident on Sunday. The child's age and gender were not disclosed. Authorities say the child was driving the vehicle but lost control and was killed when it rolled over. Another child who was a passenger was thrown from the vehicle and sustained minor injuries. Troopers say both children were wearing helmets. Troopers received the report of the incident at about 6 o'clock Monday evening. The accident occurred off of Chena Hot Springs Road. The summer's Norton Sound King Salmon Run is not expected to be a good one, and Fish and Game managers met with fishermen in Shaktulik and Unalakleet last month to get input on subsistence management measures for the year. Scott Kent, assistant area manager for the department, says the last time they sought input was back in 2006. King Salmon management has not changed since.
The reason we met this year with the fishermen is we knew that we are going to have to do something above and beyond what we've been doing the previous 5 years. And so since that's going to be a major departure and people are going to have to incur additional hardship than they already have, we wanted to let fishermen in each community have a role and some input and say in how we would specifically go about doing it.
In projecting the number of kings headed to Unalakleet and Shaktulik this year, the department looks at numbers from 2007, the brood year for kings that returned to the rivers last year. Kent says they expected last year's run to be a lot better than it was. They wanted to see at least 3,000 kings in the Unalakleet River drainage. Only just more than 1,800 kings made it to the spawning beds.
You couple that with the fact that 2008 wasn't a stellar year for escapement. There's no reason to think we're going to have an improved run this year.
Just around 2,500 kings total made up the entire run to the Unalakleet River.
Which is really, really bad.
This is the first time that we're seeing, you know, kind of severe restrictions on subsistence.
Eugene Asiksik is a fisherman from Shaktulik. He says that while they are facing severe restrictions, he appreciates Fish and Game's approach in getting fishermen's input.
I think it proved to the community that, you know, Fish and Game is sincere and that they are looking at the best interest of, you know, the subsistence users.
But the question always is, why are the king runs so bad? The numbers are down for all rivers in Alaska. Most think it's a factor of unfavorable ocean conditions, but no one can exactly say what in the ocean is killing king salmon before they head back to their spawning beds. Perhaps it's ocean acidification, the trawl fleet in the Bering Sea, or warmer ocean temperatures. Maybe it's interactions with other species or food. And perhaps, Scott Kent says and hopes, maybe it's cyclical.
You talk to some elders, they say they've seen these kind of long-term crashes, you know, in the past of different species and stocks, and that they came back. And there's a lot of things we don't know. And sometimes the fish are more resilient than we give them credit for. And they just may not do it on our schedule or when we'd like to see it happen. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we have to do our best to try to make sure we keep seeding these rivers, and if and when conditions turn around and we can start to bring the runs back.
And to get there, Unalakleet fishermen preferred 2 24-hour fishing periods per week in the ocean with no mesh size restrictions. Shaktulik fishermen chose longer fishing periods, 2 48-hour periods per week with a mesh size of 6 inches or smaller. A big change from the 80s and 90s when there was a commercial fishery in the area with no limits at all on subsistence king salmon fishing.
For once, I'd like to go into one of these meetings into the communities and say, hey, guess what? We think it's going to be better this year, and we're going to give you another day a week to fish, and it'd really be nice to do that. We hope we're getting there.
And the king salmon run typically peaks around summer solstice, June 21st, but this year the department expects a later run as it was last year when the run peaked in early July. The Senate is out for the week, and as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, it will return to a full slate. Congress gave itself an entire week off for Memorial Day. Both chambers are set to return a week from today. The recess comes at an unfortunate time, since the Senate was starting to show signs of productivity. The Judiciary Committee debated hundreds of amendments to an immigration reform package that's expected to take much of the Senate calendar for the next month. And the Farm Bill that Congress extended at the end of last year was recently reintroduced onto the Senate floor. Already it's had votes on amendments and will get future ones on controversial issues like crop insurance and food assistance for the poor. That massive piece of legislation also reauthorizes the Denali Commission. The fate of the Farm Bill remains uncertain, though. Last year the Senate passed one, only to see it fester in the House. And the price of gold in New York is up 40 cents an ounce to $1,387.70. An ounce of silver down 4 cents to $22.45. It's unofficially 41 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.